At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
A warmer from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas. For Coast to Coast Heaps with myself, Greg H. Pierce, and now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts. We've got a tremendous podcast for you. It's in the second segment. We are going to be joined by Eli Becker, the founder of HXCBB. We've got a lot to unpack with him. We're going to be taking a look at some of the bigger names that are out there in the transfer portal right now. But on top of that, some of the guys with big NBA draft decisions who helped their stock over the last week or so with regards to the NBA draft combine, who wound up hurting their stock a little bit as well. And then we're also going to be diving into what in the world has been happening out there in the Pac-12, because we have seen a lot of teams not get active with the transfer portal whatsoever. It's been a very bad offseason, in my opinion, for the Pac-12, especially with a guy like Andre Kelly, who's in the conference, going down to the Big West. So we're going to be having that chat with Eli in the second segment, and then in the final segment, going to give you guys a little bit of a recap as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Sunday. Wound up seeing a lot of, shall we say, lesser guys wind up making decisions with regards to the transfer portal. Going to be big for some schools out there in conferences like the Atlantic Sun. So we're going to be recapping that in the final segment. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM. They mean it does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast. Mind that 5-star review. Did not wind up getting in any Twitter questions today, but had a great chat with Eli a little bit earlier on Sunday. So I'll be bringing you guys that next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Spears, and now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Break here, lovely Las Vegas, for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Epes Pierce, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast, and it is great to be joined by our guest, as Eli Becker does a terrific job over there at He Checks CBB. He is the founder of that tremendous platform, but on top of that, he does some work over there at Athletic Director U. This is a man that is based out here on the West Coast, much like myself, and he makes it very easy to be able to find him on social media, as Eli is able to be found at Bedger_Eli. Last name is spelled BOETTGER_, and then Eli all together. And Eli, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Greg. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, and I do appreciate the fact that things are going to be starting to come to a head with regards to all this roster movement that we've seen this offseason, because the NBA draft decisions, they are going to be coming down in the next few days. And I know that a big thing with regards to these decisions is taking a look at these guys that they wound up being at the combine. And out of everything that we've seen over the last, we'll call it 7 days, who do you think is more slash less likely to come back to school based on what they wound up doing at the combine in Chicago about a week ago?
I would start with saying that Jake LaRavia is one of the major risers from Wake Forest, and wasn't previously seen as maybe a professional as recent as, I don't know, 12, 15 months ago, but he had a great season with Wake Forest. He measured quite a bit taller than I think a lot of people thought he would be. He listed as 6'8" in shoes, which is a bit of a surprise. And this is a guy who could play a legitimate 3-and-D role off the bench for NBA teams and contribute. And he put together a great combine, and he looks to be emerging as someone who will be selected maybe late first round, early second round, based on kind of the things that I've been seeing. So expectation now that LaRavia and also Alondis Williams are both going to be leaving Wake Forest, so that leaves kind of a bit of a scoring void for the Demon Deacons under Steve Forbes. And another two guys, I'll say, from the mid-major level who have been making a pretty substantial impact, one of them being Kenneth Lofton Jr. from Louisiana Tech, who really has feasted on the competition that he's faced, and he kind of came on as one of the risers in the U19 tour last summer. And he also put together a great NIT performance shortly before that last year, but was kind of seen as maybe a guy who's a little too chunky, a little undersized as far as height is concerned to find a true position at the next level. But he's been great in the combine. He's looked to be quite a bit slimmed down. He's been pretty versatile. I think he's put together a good handful of days performing against high level competition. I think his stock is quite a bit lower than LaRavia's. He'd probably be a second-round selection if he keeps his name in, but that is a guy to watch because he would be considered at least one of the top players in the portal. We've seen some rumors of him maybe going to Houston, his home state. So that's a curious one. And then I think the other one is probably David Roddy from Colorado State. He's honestly has kind of a similar build as Kenneth Lofton Jr., I'd say a bit shorter, maybe an inch or two shorter than him, but very much a thick presence. He's got more of a versatility as far as his offensive skill set and put together an awesome season with Colorado State. We've seen his name go from probably, from what I heard, maybe an 80% chance of staying as recent as a couple months ago to now, I would say, probably 50% at best. He might even be leaning towards staying in the draft at this point based on what I've heard. Could be seen as a late first-round prospect or early second round. And I think, honestly, Greg, he's gone from a guy who's seen as maybe not having a position at the next level because he is a bit on the shorter side and stout, maybe not really a three-point threat projected to be that at the next level, but he just seems to do so many things well on basketball court, and he might not be elite at any one trait, but he just does a lot of things really well, and I think that's going to be attractive to front offices who can take what he brings and just allow it to flourish over time as a pro. So I've got my eyes on those three guys, and they've done a really good job in the combine. I think it probably leads to most, if not all of them, leaning towards staying in the NBA draft, as much as I'd like to see them play another season of college basketball.
Yep, I'm right there with you, especially on Jake LaRavia. He has been really climbing up draft boards. I'm seeing a lot of people project him now as a first-round pick. So I do think that it's going to be interesting to take a look at him and Wake Forest moving forward, as we do have Eli Becker of HXCBB joining me on the podcast, because I do take a look at Wake Forest, and I think even with those two guys out of the fold, they're still in relatively solid shape because they did wind up getting back Davion Williamson. Now, I think that we would both agree. I think we both thought that Davion Williamson was going to be coming back to school, but I take a look at Wake Forest with him back, that he's probably going to need to do a little bit more with regards to the offense. But you take a look at some of the other transfers that they've wound up getting in the portal this offseason. They wind up bringing in Jay Otika, a little bit of a sharpshooter for this team. And then on top of that, Tyree Appleby certainly is not going to be as versatile as Alondis Williams was, but at the same time, he is a little bit of a better shooter in general. I do think that Wake Forest, even with those two losses of Williams along with LaRavia, which we're both assuming, I still think that they've got a chance to be able to rise up in an ACC that, in general, I think that the arrow is trending upward with regards to this conference.
I agree with you there. And Steve Forbes is leaning towards a coach who I can trust based on the talent that he has. And he was able to get the absolute most out of Alondis Williams, who really wasn't a guy who received a ton of buzz in the transfer portal last season, despite being a high major transfer and a guy who contributed at the high major level over at Oklahoma in the Big 12. And I do see some similarities with Tyree Appleby's fit within Wake Forest. And I don't think he's going to have quite the season that Alondis Williams has. And that's obviously saying quite a bit because he had a spectacular season. But I think Tyree Appleby's fit with Wake Forest is a good one because he is a player who can manufacture some of his own scoring. He shoots about 34% from deep on at least five or six attempts a night. I think keeping turnovers low will be key for him because he does have quality distributing abilities. But overall, he's a pretty efficient scorer. I would like to see him probably be a bit more of a lockdown defender to be kind of a two-way guy to allow Wake Forest to be stout defensively. But overall, I think given the losses, and there were substantial ones for Wake Forest this offseason, I think that Steve Forbes and his staff have combated those pretty well. I still think it's probably a team that is maybe on the outside looking in as far as an at-large contention, but it is a team that's recovered fairly well overall, I'd say.
Yep, they certainly have been able to do a solid job in recent years. I like what Steve Forbes is building over there, and something else that is being built is the fact that we've got more and more guys in the portal of note, because I do think that there's going to be a few guys that pull out the NBA draft that probably would be in a lot of years right around a second-round draft pick. A lot of these guys, if they don't get first-round guarantees, are going to be pulling out. And you can tell that that was the case for Matthew Meyer, as over the weekend he decided that he was going to be coming back to school. I think that this one is relatively massive with regards to the transfer portal. I'm not sure if there are any other guys that are currently sort of just testing the waters that you think are going to be coming back that are sort of on that borderline. I still take a look at Pat Baldwin Jr. because he measured out so badly. I think that there's a shot that he could wind up going into the transfer portal. That could really be a shakeup as well. But I take a look at the Matthew Meyer situation, and I think it's one of the most intriguing ones out there because I know that North Carolina has been calling for him. Obviously, he was at Baylor last season, but they picked up Caleb Lohner, which is why he wound up entering in the transfer portal. So that one is a big one, and I'm sure that there's going to be a few others that wind up following him with Meyer that is really going to be making things juicy within the next few days.
Yeah, I love how you mentioned Meyer because I think that's the one that is really on everyone's radar, even though the main team that's been rumored to pick up Meyer is North Carolina. And I think that fit would be just awesome for him. He's not going to be the same type of player that North Carolina had last season and Brady Manek at that four spot. But I just think the more that I look at North Carolina, and many people have the Tar Heels as their projected number one overall team for next season, I still think shoring up that power forward spot to allow UNC to continue to play the four out, one in with Armando Bacot in the middle would just be so helpful for this UNC offense. And even though Meyer might not be the perimeter shooter that Brady Manek was last season, I think he does bring substantial slashing abilities and just overall prowess in terms of getting into the lane and scoring that would take this UNC offense to another level. I just don't know if UNC is quite ready to trot out Puff Johnson as their starting four, or even try to go a bit smaller with their lineup. I just think that landing Matthew Meyer would be huge for UNC in maintaining or at least looking like a Final Four national championship type contender next season. But as you said, there are a lot of guys that are pretty intriguing in the transfer portal still as we're approaching June. I think Tyrese Hunter is a big name that's out there from Iowa State. With the Cyclones have been huge as far as transfer portal additions and also departures. That's a really big one. And Imani Bates is still hanging out there. And that's a former five-star recruit who's seen as a one-and-done guy. He's still got a decision to make, even though there are some rumors of where he's going to be headed. But it's intriguing to have some of these star players or former top-rated recruits who have decisions to make. You could also throw out maybe Joey Baker from Duke, who just announced his intentions of transferring, and also AJ Green from Northern Iowa, who's got Duke on his radar. That's another player who I would say falls into maybe the line of like Baylor Shireman from South Dakota State in terms of the Midwest guy who knows how to score and gets buckets and could produce at a high major level. But also Isaiah Mosley from Missouri State, who's been rumored to go to Kansas. So a lot of these programs that are considered to be Final Four contenders, second weekend contenders, are still in contention for some of the very best possible additions in the transfer portal. So there are names to keep an eye out as far as some of those guys. But overall, I think a lot of teams, now that we are approaching that withdrawal deadline, are just looking for their final bits of patchworking here and there to try to iron out their lineups best they can and try to avoid any major gaping holes in terms of what their roster looks like for next season.
And I'm right there with you on Isaiah Mosley being a big impact guy. I feel like he's the one that's really going under the radar. Absolutely tore it up last season at Missouri State. He and Gage Brim, one of the most underrated duos that we wound up seeing out there. So good on you for mentioning that one, because I am right there with you on that. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Eli Becker, does a terrific job as the operator of Heat Check CBB, the man that wound up founding it all. And I take a look this offseason, and there have been quite a few teams that have made some good moves. I mean, obviously, we're taking a look at Florida, the fact that they wind up bringing in Todd Golden, the fact that they're bringing in all these transfers, and on top of that, they brought back Colin Castleton. Coming to mind is Bryant. List goes on and on, but hear me out. Georgetown has actually been able to have one of the better transfer portal periods this entire offseason. I look at Georgia. I like what they've done. I look at Missouri. I like what they've done. And I just take a look at what's happened here in the transfer portal in the offseason. And it feels like a lot of these teams that they were just tomato cans in their conference, like Georgia, dead last in the SEC. Georgetown didn't win a single game out there in the Big East. Missouri, another SEC team that they wanted scuffling. What I really like to see is that a lot of these teams that they were just, we're going to call it what it was, bad last season, they've been able to hit the transfer portal, and they've done a good job. And I think that that's really going to bolster a lot of these just conferences in general with regards to their net rankings. List goes on and on. Like, I don't think that Georgetown and Georgia are going to be NCAA tournament teams or anything like that, but the fact that they're going to be more competitive, I think, is just good for these power conferences in general.
I'm right there with you. And I think what's interesting about the teams that you listed there, they're all pretty much some of the bottom.
They were terrible
in their conferences. Georgetown, of course, didn't even win a Big East game last season. And the bigger picture here, and from what I've heard and what I've studied and what I've read about the transfer portal and how coaches have approached it, is it is kind of quick fix that coaches can utilize these days, whether it is a first year coach that maybe lost part of his recruiting class during the coaching transition or inherited a bad roster. It's a way that you can pick up maybe two or three starters quickly instead of relying entirely on freshmen or JUCO transfers to try to navigate that first year. And likewise, you might have a head coach who's at his third or fourth year with a high major program. Maybe he hasn't reached the NCAA tournament yet, and there's pressure for him to do so. Well, picking up a high major transfer or a mid-major superstar in the transfer portal is a way to go about that route. And I'll add another team in there to the list, which is a team that I'm honestly pretty intrigued by heading into next season. That's Arizona State. And the Sun Devils were really an up-and-down team last season. They started off the year 7-15, and just had a really rough go of things, some blowout losses, but they also had some odd signature wins. They beat UCLA, they gave Arizona a tough game, they beat Creighton, and now they enter next season with a handful of transfers who I honestly really like. They added the Cambridge brothers, Desmond Cambridge and David Cambridge, and those guys were some absolute studs at their recent spots at Auburn and Nevada. particularly Desmond from Nevada, who just became a great three-level scorer for the Wolfpack. Frankie Collins also comes in from Michigan, and he's a guy who is, I would say, a little bit divisive as far as what his performances look like with the Wolverines, but he is a really high talent who I think could do quite a bit of good over in the Pac-12. And also bringing in Warren Washington, who is Desmond's Cambridge teammate over at Nevada. He's a 7-footer, a great rebounder, also started his career at Oregon State, so you know he has high major talent and pedigree. And they also might get some returners as far as what it looks like right now with guys like Marcus Bagley, DJ Horn, Alonzo Gaffney, some of those players who were probably not as efficient or as impactful as Bobby Hurley would have liked to have had last season. But I think that overall, this is an ASU team that is going to have a lot of pressure. We know how hot Bobby Hurley's seat is at this point, given the team's talent level and inability to really get over the hump these last handful of seasons. And this team still hasn't won an NCAA tournament game, at least past the first four under Hurley yet. And maybe this isn't the team to do it, but I do think that with these additions, it raises ASU's overall talent level. And these are guys who were productive or at least showed promise at the previous spots at high levels, whether it was really high level as far as mid-major in Nevada, or whether they're actually high major stops in Auburn and Michigan. So I'm intrigued by ASU, and I'm also just intrigued by the fact that a lot of those teams, like you mentioned, these are the bottom feeders in their conference, and a lot of those teams that struggled last year have picked up some pretty notable additions, and I think it kind of tightens things up in a lot of these high major leagues, which is always fun to watch as far as the viewers as the season comes along.
And Eli, you just got me on something with bringing up Arizona State. Have you at all been surprised that the Pac-12 has not done much here in the transfer portal? Like, Oregon is typically a little bit more active than they have. And in Oregon, they've made a couple moves themselves, bringing in Keyshawn Bartholomew among with Jermaine Cousinar. But I take a look at the Pac-12 in general. You'd think that this team would really, or you'd think that this conference in general, after you wound up having so many bottom feeder teams, would try to bring in anything. I mean, Jared Hess somehow, some way, winds up getting another year. They have been as dormant in the transfer portal as humanly possible. Cal winds up losing Andre 3000 Kelly to the Big West. I don't know how that winds up happening. I take a look at this entire offseason for the Pac-12, and I think Arizona State is really going to be able to rise up in that conference because everyone else around them is just right now sitting on their hands doing nothing. And if anything, they're losing out on all these transfers like Andre Kelly going to the Big West and have actually gotten worse this offseason.
Yeah, that's – I mean, I was going to bring that one up before you did, but Andre Kelly – going to the Big West is crazy. To lose a 13.8 rebound guy to a one bid league is nuts. It's nuts. And I think you hit it because the Pac-12 has been a conference. They obviously had the 2021 NCAA tournament where they had those wonderful performances and got a lot of teams into the Elite Eight. But the talent level is usually won through recruiting, being able to bring in a lot of West Coast, Texas, five-star, four-star, top 100 guys. But I'm surprised as you are that just overall the Pac-12 hasn't been more involved in the transfer portal, or at least hasn't brought in more stars. It just has been kind of a ho-hum offseason for this conference at large, and it surprised me because there is quite a bit of departing talent. And you mentioned Oregon. I do think they probably have the best incoming transfer class besides ASU at this point, but Keyshawn Bartholomew and Cuisinart, they're just not exactly needle pushers, and maybe it's who Dana Altman and his staff believe were going to be the very best of fits, and if that's the case, then that's how that goes. But even a program like Arizona, which as far as I'm concerned, I believe that they'd pretty much be able to bring in just about anyone that they want now that they've got things rolling. In the first year under Tommy Lloyd, getting a one seed, and obviously the Wildcats have some pretty significant departures this offseason. They're going to lose Benedict Mathurin to the NBA draft. They're going to lose Christian Coloco to the NBA draft. Also lose Justin Kyer. And there aren't really many notable additions. They've got their incoming class, but it's mostly unranked guys besides Dylan Anderson. And it's putting a lot of pressure into maybe like a Dalen Terry to step up, who he has his name in the NBA draft as well. And he could potentially withdraw it, which I think is probably the best decision for him. But I think just at large and just overall, I'm surprised that a lot of these teams haven't been more aggressive or at least successful. USC is another example. They don't really have any major transfer additions this season. USC traditionally has done a pretty good job under Andy Enfield in terms of getting transfers. So I'm as surprised as you are. Washington, you can refer them to UW up in the Pacific Northwest, but getting Frank Kepnong is obviously not really the biggest thing that they would have hoped. Bringing over Braxton Mia from Fresno State, who was a bench guy there. A lot of head scratches in the conference overall, and I guess we'll see how it pans out, but I think there's a lot of pressure being put on some of these returning guys to develop and get a lot better over time.
Yeah, to your point, expecting a guy in Braxton Mia who averaged 2 points per game at Fresno State going up to Washington, hard to think that he's all of a sudden going to be becoming some sort of a monster down low and doing some sort of great things, because they certainly aren't Eli Becker, because Eli, you do absolutely amazing work over there at TechCBB. I know you're doing some work over there with Athletic Director U. I know that you've got many irons in the fire. You're doing an absolutely tremendous job taking a look at everything that we were getting this college basketball season. So love to give people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and just everything that you've got going on in general.
I really appreciate that, Greg. It's a whirlwind this time of year with NBA draft winding down and transfer portal and everything being sorted out, and being able to, fingers crossed, hopefully be able to preview rotations and lineups and everything over the coming months. But as always, we're attacking it over on HeatCheckCBB.com, and all of our social media handles are at HeatCheckCBB. And it's like we're yourself, we're doing the very best we can to keep track and manage all of the roster movement we have going on and different coaching staff changes and everything that goes into creating a new college basketball season. So we're following along with it, keeping tabs on everything the very best we can, and looking forward to inching closer to another awesome season of college basketball.
It is going to be an awesome year of college basketball, and Eli does a great job of being able to follow it all, and all the guys over there at HeatCheckCBB, they all do amazing work. Eli has set up an absolutely tremendous network, and it is always great to be able to get him on the podcast. So big thanks to Eli for joining me right here on Coast to Coast. He's now part of the VSIN Family Podcast, and coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Sunday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Love you, Las Vegas, for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Apes Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to get Eli Becker on the show. He does absolutely amazing work over there at HeatCheckCBB. He is the founder of that fine website, and he always brings the goods with regards to this podcast whenever he joins it, and a man that he covers this thing 12 months out of the year. So a big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast that I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball over the last 24 hours. And we wound up seeing quite a few guys, and I think it's fair to say, wound up making a little bit of lesser moves. Some of these I think are actually going to be quite important, though, like Zuul Keith. He has decided that he is going to be going to Tennessee State, someone that winds up going from Gallatin, Tennessee, and he, 2 seasons ago, shot 37.5% from three, was able to put up 7 points, 3 rebounds per game as a 6'7" combo player for Northern Illinois. This last season, big fall off, 4 points per game, wasn't able to find it from 3-point range, but if he's able to just recapture what he wound up having 2 years ago, I think that this is going to be big for a Tennessee State team that they've seen a lot of mixing and shaking over the last few months. They've just been unable to find that right blend in general. They seem to be trying to go a little bit more up-tempo. It's been a team that has lacked discipline, to say the least, but I do think that this sort of an addition is going to be able to give them a couple more dimensions. They're going to need a little bit of help on the glass, but I do like what Tennessee State has been able to do here in the transfer portal. They bring in Junior Clay from Tennessee Tech, a double-figure scorer over there. Zion Griffin coming over from UIC, so it's actually been a relatively solid offseason for them. We wound up seeing a lot of guys go from the D1 level to the non-D1 level on Saturday/Sunday, as well as you did wind up having DeMarcus Hall. He was playing at Louisiana Monroe. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level, and he is going to be going down to Bossier Parish Community College. If you have heard of that, you are a better person than myself, and or you probably wind up living in the area, which is most likely the case there with Hall. Wound up putting up right around 2.5 rebounds per game, so a couple minutes, but not necessarily going to be a big loss there, and this is very easy for your handicap. All you need to note is that Mr. Hall, he was playing at the D1 level last season, he is now at the non-D1 level. You're able to just cross him off your list of guys that you need to evaluate, and you're able to move on from there. So that's nice, neat, clean, and easy with that regard. And then we did wind up seeing Makai Abi. He was playing last season at Liberty. Give me Liberty, or give me, in this case, Dallas Baptist, as he's going to be going down to the non-D1 level, a guy that last season saw a few minutes, right around 3 points per contest, 2 rebounds per game, had a little bit of size, wound up seeing 9.5 minutes per contest, and did wind up shooting 44% from 3-point range. With the way that it is a little bit more of a developmental school with Liberty, I'm a little bit surprised that he decided to go down to the non-D1 level, had a chance to perhaps see a few more minutes, but he is not out of the fold for this team. Luke Brown, he was playing last season at Ball State, and he and Jalen Blackman of Grand Canyon have both decided that they're going to be going to Stetson. With Brown last season, he put up right around 3.5 points per contest, someone that shot barely over 30% from 3-point range, but I feel has a little bit of upside. I do think that he needs to start doling out the ball a little bit more, and that's something that Stetson was lacking a little bit more last season. And then with Blackman, this is someone that, when I was at Grand Canyon last year, very similar, right around 3 points per contest, shot right around 36% from 3-point range, and that's going to be big for a Hatters team that we're going to call it what it is. They were a little bit all over the place last season because Rob Perry, their top scorer, wound up pretty much stepping away from the program midway through the season. They were able to get some good facilitation out of Steven Swenson. Looks like he is most likely going to be back in the fold for this team, so that's going to be able to bring things together. If you can wind up having a little bit passing out of Brown and both of these guys be sharp shooters, I think that you're actually going to be looking at a little bit of something when it comes to this team. So Stetson making some moves out there in the Atlantic Sun. You wound up seeing Ron Brown III. He was playing last season at Niagara and actually put up some numbers. 16 starts for him, right around 4 points per game, a little bit more of a defensive stopper. And he didn't take a ton of threes, but he shot 50% from 3-point range. He decided to go down to the non-D1 level. He's going to Butler, but it's Butler Community College. So once again, a case of which you can cross him off your list of guys to be able to evaluate. And that is actually a little bit of a loss when it comes to Niagara, because Purple Eagles, they're a team that they really do like to develop develop. You've got Marcus Hammond, who decided that he was going to be going to Notre Dame in the offseason. You wound up having a lot of guys that were seniors and fifth-year guys on the roster last year. So we do have quite a bit of overall that is going on with Niagara. Kenny Burns, he was playing this last season over at Kennesaw State as we give our ode to Lane Kiffenier. Go Owls. He and Mason Quattlebaum have both decided that they are going to be going down to the non-D1 level. With Quattlebaum, he's going to Missouri St. Louis, and with Burns, he has decided that he is going to be going to Polk State College, which is actually a halfway decent community college slash JUCO school. Has been able to develop some guys. You take a look at Quattlebaum, and well, he wound up putting up right around 2.5 points per contest and not wind up seeing a lot of action. And then you take a look at the other gentleman in Mr. Burns, and he was able to do a relatively okay job when he was given minutes with 3.5 points per contest. Problem was, he just was unable to stay healthy, was unable to stay out there on the floor. Both of these guys had a little bit of promise coming in, but neither guy was really able to stay out there on the floor and be available. So, you hope for nothing but the best out of those guys. Zane Butler, he was playing last year at SIU Edwardsville. He has decided that he is going to be going to Navarro College. That is another one of those big-time JUCO schools in which we've seen a lot of guys wind up going down to the non-D1 level, and then they're able to resurface a year or two later with Butler. Just didn't wind up getting a lot of minutes with SIU Edwardsville ever, right around 2 points per contest last season. Someone who at 5'11" is really going to need to work on his ball handling, so we're going to see if he's going to be able to do that. You saw Ryan Clayfin. He last season was over there at UW Green Bay, and in his 2 years at UW Green Bay with Clef Flynn, he was able to get 16 starts, wound up averaging only about 3 points per contest for a UW Green Bay team that they just wound up making one of the worst hires really ever, or just one of the worst decisions in general, because I don't think Will Ryan is a bad coach. I think he got put into a really bad situation, though, with them firing Link Darner. He's a completely different coach than Link Darner. Darner was doing a relatively solid job with UW Green Bay. It was clearly a money call. I have some ties over there with UW Green Bay, and it was just a befuddling move that they wanted to make, to say the least. And now they went from being an above-average Horizon League team to absolutely terrible. So you wind up having Clayfin decide that he is going to be leaving the school, and well, last one out of UW Green Bay, turn off the lights, and they've done nothing out there in the transfer portal this offseason, so not going well for them. Jason Edokpe, he was playing at Fairfield last season. He's decided that he is going to be going to New Haven College, and he wound up being able to average right around 2.5 points, 2.3 rebounds per game. Just was unable to stay available. Limited to fewer than 10 games last season due to injury, so that was a little bit of an issue for him. He's decided that he is going to be going down to the 91 level, get some time. Tyler Gill, he was another guy that just could not stay healthy for Towson. He has decided that he is going to be going to Fayetteville State, average less than a point per contest, so not a guy that you really need to worry about there. And then another guy, Jaden Frazier, he has decided that he is going to be going down to the 91 level. Wound up playing for 2 years at Chattanooga, just was unable to get out there on the floor. He has decided that he is going to be going to Rollins College. Now, with regards to more of the D1 guys, you wound up seeing Che Evans, who just wound up redshirting last season. He was going to go to UTEP after he wound up spending his first year at San Diego State. Could not wind up getting out there with San Diego State. Last year, wound up redshirting, did not wind up seeing the floor. He decided that he is going to be going to USC Upstate, and USC Upstate has actually had some success taking shots on guys that were relatively highly touted, but just could not wind up getting minutes in general. He was someone that was ranked number 239 in terms of the class of 2020 by 24/7 Sports, and he's got a nice frame on him. 6'6", is able to pop some threes. This is going to be very solid for a USC Upstate team that last season they were able to do a very solid job of being able to bury a couple shots. So I think it's going to be intriguing to see what winds up happening there. Something that we have seen quite a bit of this offseason, as well as a lot of these guys that they wind up playing at these HBCUs, going down to the D2 level and staying with the D2 HBCUs. And we've seen that with D'Angelo Epps, wound up beginning his career at College of Charleston. And this last year at Hampton, I mean, it was just a case which Hampton, they wound up utilizing two guys and two guys only. The offense ran exclusively via Russell Dean and Najee Garvin. Epps was a nice little ancillary piece for this team. He was at 6'5", a guy that was able to put up right around 6.5 points per contest. Gave the team 5 boards, shot a few threes, didn't necessarily shoot it well from three, but he decided that he's going to be going to Catawba College. I think that he's going to be able to tear it up there. You wish him nothing but the best, but that's a little bit of a blow for an Hampton school that they have quite a few losses from the last few months. Devin Hancock. He was playing at UW-Milwaukee last season. He decided that he is going to be heading out south, and he is going to be going over to Louisiana Monroe, a guy that last season wound up seeing right around 13 minutes per contest. Didn't necessarily tear it up on offense, but did wind up shooting 38% from three-point range, 6'3", with a little bit more of a green light. I think that this is someone that could actually put up some solid numbers out there with a Monroe team that they just have not been able to find themselves recently. So could be interesting to see what happens there. AJ Hamrick, he last season was playing at Charleston Southern. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level. He is also going to be going to Polk State College. So they wound up having quite a few pickups, as he's a guy that just did not wind up putting up anything whatsoever. 3.5 points, 3.1 rebounds per game, but only 8 games played for him. 6'9", a little bit of a combo gentleman, so a little bit of a loss there. If he would have been able to stay healthy, might have been able to do something for Charleston Southern. Tigra Azee, he was playing last season at LaSalle, wound up putting up right around 2 rebounds per game. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level. He is going to be going down to Harcum College, Jordan, and this is a very hard last name to say, Kwiecinski. He was playing at Drake 2 seasons ago, just never could wind up seeing the floor. He has decided that he is going to Eckerd College, so not necessarily much of an impact there, but this is a little bit more of an impact. You had Marlon Leston. He was playing last year at East Carolina. He decided that he is going to be going to Murray State. Murray State, they need to be able to find a way to be able to fill out this roster, because, and you've got a lot of guys that they just wound up being in and out of the fold in general with Leston. Just could not wind up getting out there on the floor last season at East Carolina, but I do think that there is a chance for him to be able to see some good minutes right away over there at Murray State. Someone that, with regards to the class of 2021, he was actually being pursued by a couple schools like UMass, Providence. There were quite a few of the Northeastern schools that were in on him. He actually came from the country of Canada. 6'9", 200-pound gentleman that I think is going to be able to do a relatively solid job down low for Murray State, and they are going to need it. So he has decided that he is going to be heading over there. You wound up seeing Milton Matthews decide that he is going to be going from North Carolina A&T, and he's becoming a Tommy. He's going to be going to St. Thomas, not the St. Thomas at the D1 level, but rather the non-D1 level, and it's a little bit of a loss for A&T, as he wound up seeing some meaningful minutes last year, 3.5 points per game, was able to put up right around 2 boards, did a solid job being able to shoot right around 32% from 3, so that is going to be a little bit of a depth loss for them. A little bit surprising on this, as Josh Oguero, someone who I thought was going to be able to go to San Jose State and was going to be able to do some nice things with regards to that program, he decided that he is going to go down to the non-D1 level. He's going to be going to Colby Community College. Began his career at Oklahoma, couldn't really get out there on the floor there, and then with San Jose State was just a big giant bussaroonie, as he wound up having 2 points, 1 rebound per contest. I thought that he was going to be able to come in, be a little bit of a 6'5" combo player for this team. Never wound up happening for them, so that's a little bit of an issue. Jackson Gammons, he was a bench warmer over there at the Citadel. He decided that he is going to be going down to Anderson College. Could not really be able to get a lot of minutes with regards to that program, so he decided that he is going to be going down, and he is going to be able to just wind up seeing a little bit more playing time in general. Lathaniel Bastin is the opposite of a lot of what we've been talking about recently, as he's actually going up to the D1 level. Last year, he was at Angelo State, and someone that's able to do a relatively solid job down low, and we've noticed it with Kelsey Fullerton. They're looking at guys that they are able to provide a little bit more down low. We wound up seeing the success that they wound up having with EJ Onosiki, and I think that they're going to try to channel that through Mr. Bastine. He wound up being able to do a good job being able to give the team right in the neighborhood about 8.5 rebounds per game last season. 11.5 points, not a guy that is going to be stretching the floor by any stretch of the imagination, but also a good shot blocker, was able to give the team just under 2 blocks per contest out there in one of the better D2 conferences in all of college basketball. I do think that he's going to see some minutes. Certainly, I don't think that he's going to be some guy that winds up coming in averaging a double-double or anything like that, but I think that that's a good pickup for them. And then with Fullerton, they wound up picking up another guy from the non-D1 level, as Max Jones, he was playing last year at Tampa. I believe that this is a little bit more of a junior college school, but he, in 7 games, was able to do a very solid job, putting up 22.5 points per contest, shot 35% from 3-point range. Very small sample size out there in the Sunshine State Conference, but someone who showed some relatively good promise. If he is able to come in and if he is able to wind up having a relatively good run of things, that is going to be rock solid, as he wound up having those numbers with Tampa, and then a little bit more of a full season, wound up averaging more like 22 points per game. So
oh no, you want to really scuffing there. But that said, I do think that this is someone that is going to be a bucket getter that is going to be coming in, and it's going to be big for him to be able to improve his three-point shooting, because that's one thing that Kelsey Fullerton did not wind up having. Last year, shot more around 32.5% from three-point range overall for his career, right around 33.5%, 34-ish% from three-point range, and a guy that's able to dole out the ball a little bit, and got right around 1.2 steals per game as well. So very interesting to take a look there. I know that actually the Wisconsin Badgers were showing some interest in Max Jones as well. So that is going to be one of impact. You wind up seeing Jacine Siani. He was playing last season at UW-Milwaukee, and we have seen an exodus with UW-Milwaukee, but he decided that he is going to be going to the Fighting Camels of Campbell. As Campbell, I think that they're going to be getting a guy that's going to be able to perhaps wind up seeing the floor in a few years, a little bit more of a project guy, wind up seeing some minutes towards the back half of the season, and when he wound up getting minutes against UIC and IUPUI, in those two games, wound up combining for 12.6 rebounds over the course of about 40 or so minutes. So he needs a little bit of work there. Not a guy that's necessarily able to pop threes, but did wind up seeing a little bit more playing time towards back half of the season as UW-Milwaukee just wound up having their season go off the rails in general. You wound up seeing Ryan Rapp. He last season was over there at Washington State. He decided that he is going to be going to Hawaii. This is going to be big for the Rainbow Warriors, who they've been able to do a solid job in the transfer portal. Now, Rapp, two seasons ago, had a relatively okay year at Washington State. Had 3.5 points, right around 2 assists, 2.5 boards. Not a guy that's going to go out there and is necessarily going to be going bombs away from three or anything like that. And actually, a gentleman that began his life out in the country of Australia / the continent of Australia, he's going to be coming in, and I do think that he's going to be one of those guys that with his size is going to be able to cause for some matchup issues out there in the Big West. Not a guy that's going to go out there and is going to be able to bury a lot of threes, but certainly a little bit of impact guy. So going to be fascinating to see what winds up happening there. You wind up seeing an NBA draft decision, according to John Rossin, to Key Green, who was playing last season at Stony Brook, has decided that he is going to be returning to school. He was an all-AEC performer last season, and 14 points, 8 rebounds, right around a ceiling after contest. He was really able to fill it up, and on top of that, he really improved his three-point shooting. First 3 years in college basketball, shot under 30% from three. Not saying the free throw shooting percentage is much better, but shot 64.9% at the charity stripe. After first 3 years, he was shooting sub 60% at the free throw line, but buried 42.5% of his threes, right around 3 threes per contest is what he was taking. This is going to be very significant for them. I think that he's going to be able to come in, and I think that he's going to be able to do, once again, a solid job for a Stony Brook team that, with Elijah Olani going down with injury, it wound up derailing them a little bit last season. Are they going to be able to track down Vermont, especially with Vermont getting Dylan Penn? No, but I think that Stony Brook can, once again, be a relatively solid program, and I believe that they are moving to the CAA either this season or next season. So if this is the first year for them in the CAA, this is going to be a case which I think that they're going to be able to hold their own in that conference. If they're back in the AEC, well, they are going to be one of the better teams, but I believe that Stony Brook now out there in the CAA, as that's something that we're going to be taking a look at a lot on this podcast as well, because we've got so much movement. There's quite a bit of change is still happening with regards to conference realignment, as well as I know that Chicago State was trying to get into the MEAC a few weeks ago. So, I mean, that is going to be a whole boatload of fun, but that said, we're going to be getting that ironed out with regards to conference previews. And then you saw Austin Harville, who actually during the 2020-21 season was a starter over at Tennessee Tech. He decided that he is going to be going to Alabama A&M. Just was glued to the bench this last season. He was dealing with injuries as well. He averaged right around 5.5 points, 4.2 rebounds, and shot 36% from three-point range as a 6'6" combo player at Tennessee Tech during that 2020-21 season. This last year, just did not wind up seeing the floor in general. But if he's able to go back to the numbers that he was able to put up as a starter about two seasons ago, that is going to be big for an Alabama A&M team that last season, you notice that they wound up having pretty much two guys that they wound up being able to give you production, and they had just nothing else past that. But hopefully we're going to be able to give you lots of production on this podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops. Like I mentioned, with regards to the realignment, we're going to be straightening all of that out during this offseason, as well as there's actually still realignment moves that are being made. So that's always a whole boatload of fun. And I still remember doing some conference previews last season in like June, and then we wound up having conference realignment after that. Hopefully we don't wind up having the case here, but if we do, I'll have that all covered. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment, idea, whatever you for this podcast, you've got one of two ways to be able to further this in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letter CM. The meme does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline, and the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Big thanks to Eli Becker of HXABB for joining me in the second segment. I'll be coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season, and that means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.